This is Fresh Air. Ben Okri is a Nigerian writer. His novel, The Famished Road, won the 1991 Booker Prize, Britain's most prestigious fiction award, beating out novels by such well-known writers as Martin Amis. Okri grew up in England and Nigeria and now lives in London. Machiku Kakutani writes in a New York Times review, "A fantastical world in which fairy tale creatures mingle with ordinary human beings, in which the mundane continually fades into the surreal, Mr. Okri's Africa seems like a continent dreamed up in tandem by Hieronymus Bosch and Jorge Luis Borges." The narrator of The Famished Road is a young boy named Azaro, who lives in a poor village in Africa.
One of the reasons I didn't want to be born became clear to me after I had come into the world. I was still very young when, in a daze, I saw Dad swallowed up by a hole in the road. Another time, I saw Mom dangling from the branches of a blue tree. I was 7 years old when I dreamt that my hands were covered with the yellow blood of a stranger. I had no idea whether these images belonged to this life or to a previous one, or to one that was yet to come, or even if they were merely the host of images that invades the minds of all children. When I was very young, I had a clear memory of my life stretching to other lives. There were no distinctions. Sometimes I seemed to be living several lives at once. One lifetime flowed into the others, and all of them flowed into my childhood. As a child, I felt I weighed my mother down. In turn, I felt weighed down by the inscrutability of life. Being born was a shock from which I never recovered. Often, by night or day, voices spoke to me. I came to realize that they were the voices of my spirit companions. "What are you doing here?" one of them would ask. "Living," I would reply. "Living for what?" "I don't know." "Why don't you know? Haven't you seen what lies ahead of you?" "No." Then they showed me images which I couldn't understand. They showed me a prison, a woman covered with golden boils, a long road, pitiless sunlight, a flood, an earthquake, death. "Come back to us," they said. "We miss you by the river. You have deserted us. If you don't come back, we will make your life unbearable." I would start shouting, daring them to do their worst. On one of these occasions, Mom came into the room and stood watching me. When I noticed her, I became silent. Her eyes were bright. She came over, hit me on the head, and said, "Who are you talking to?" "No one," I replied.
What's so striking about your story is how smoothly it moves between the spirit world and the world of the earth. There's no demarcation about what is real and what is not real. Are these the kinds of stories that you heard as a child?
The stories one writes are not necessarily the ones that one heard as a child, but they are, let's say, the sort of universes that you inhabited as a child. I think even more than that, I would say that the very fact of having been told stories as a child prepares one to write any kind of story that one is fortunate to get to write as ideas. It's just that I come from a tradition of storytelling, a tradition in which you're told stories as part of the way of making the universe understandable, and as a way of cementing relationships between human beings and other human beings, between human beings and animals and trees and sky and darkness and terror.
You were born in Nigeria, and you've lived your first 6 or 7 years in England, where your father was studying to be a lawyer. Did you want to go back to Nigeria when his schooling was done?
Oh, when you're a child, you want to stay where you are. I didn't want to go back at all. I was tricked into going back.
How were you tricked?
Mom said, "Just come see me off. You know, on the ship. Just come and say goodbye."
So you really didn't want to leave England?
No, then. I didn't want to leave at all. I was told all sorts of horrifying stories about Nigeria by my mates, as we say.
How did your mother trick you?
She said, just come see me off. And then I saw her off, and then she said, come see me off, you know, aren't you going to say goodbye to me on the ship itself? And I said goodbye on the ship itself and ended up saying goodbye to England for almost 12 years.
Were you mad at her for doing that?
Well, I was pretty furious, I must admit. I left behind my best, I left behind my great collection of comics. I had the best collection in the whole of South London. It took me a long time to forgive her that.
I can imagine.
But, you know, a child makes a journey across the great ocean, you know. I remember it was a 2-3 week journey. And your fury slowly turns into wonder at this extraordinary thing that you're floating on. And the sea passage itself becomes another sort of ritual. And the next thing I knew, I found myself in a place of wonders and extraordinary events. Because not long afterwards, the Civil War broke out.
What do you remember of the Civil War? And this was the Biafra War.
Oh, things that I'd rather not talk about now, and things that I've been trying to live with and trying to write about for the last 19 years. It's one of those things that one struck dumb just trying to remember.
How soon after you got back did the Civil War start?
I think about 6 months, yeah. But there were rumblings and rumors that seemed to be everywhere. And then it just exploded in the middle of my childhood.
If you're just joining us, my guest on Fresh Air today is Ben Okri, and he's a writer, novelist, lives in England, and his latest book, The Famished Road, was the winner of the 1991 Booker Prize for Fiction. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with novelist Ben Okri. What were some of the writers that you read as a young boy? Who would you say were the writers that really captivated you?
I love the Greeks.
Why?
Oh, they told fantastic stories. They're unbeatable. They just understood the miraculous art of enchantment. They put you on a horse and put wings on the horse, and they sent you off into the sky of an extraordinary childhood. And they had good names for their horses, Pegasus. They had, you know, the stories of the Medusa. I mean, they just were the great master imaginers of world consciousness. They just knew how to impact into stories intelligence, wisdom, morality, thoughts about the state, ideas about different dimensions of the human psyche. They just were just masters of. And they're perfect for children. They're just wonderful. I mean, I was totally enchanted by Greek legends.
How old were you when you started to read them?
Oh, I started to read them I seem to have been born with them for some reason. I love the Greek legends. Not the Romans so much. Those I discovered later. I love books like The Arabian Nights. I loved Mark Twain's Huck Finn, and they're great children's stories. All those stories that you discover twice, if you know what I mean, once as a child and again as an adult, and you are horrified to find that they're in fact two very different kinds of dreams. As I got older, Dad brought back with him from England, I suppose that's one of the great things he did for me, amongst many, a great library of books. He had every single sort of kind of novel, encyclopedias, and so on, which he didn't let me read, and by forbidding me from reading them, he whetted my youthful curiosity and made me read them myself.
Did you have to sneak in to read them?
Oh, yes, I had to sneak in. Usually, he would tell me something like, Ben, I want you to dust down my books, and you absolutely must not read them. So I started by dusting them down and ended up by reading as many of them as I could while dusting them, of course.
He knew you were going to read them, right?
I think it was his own rather cunning way of getting me to read them without being forced to do so.
You moved to England 14 years ago. Were you looking to leave Nigeria? I mean, did you want to leave Nigeria?
One never wants to leave home, but the fact that I'd been in England as a kid and that I'd encountered, amongst many other things, the secret enchanting kingdoms in the works of Shakespeare, I suppose made England sort of a second home. One wanted to go back, and Nigeria was very difficult at the time. It was very difficult to live and grow up in. That connects, of course, the second novel that I wrote called The Landscapes Within, which is a much more painful novel about an artist in a land that is going through difficulties in the aftermath of civil war. It was difficult, and it's difficult if you just also happen to be a part-time dreamer.
It's easier to be a part-time dreamer in England?
It is easier to be a... It is easier to dream in England. It's easier to write in England, for sure. Nigeria is a much more... as a place to live, it's a place of much more intense realities, for sure. It's got intensities of magic and difficulties and wonder and beauty. It's got many, many kinds of intensities. Well, England is much more serene and much more even. But England's a great place to write. I always say this, and I believe it very firmly. It's a beautiful place to write, because the writer needs partly to be in a magic space where you can conjure and where other people wouldn't come and impose themselves, and where you can go out into the world and carry that magic space with you without, as it were, having the world continually impose on it.
You're talking about privacy, the privacy to write?
Well, not just the privacy, but also certain kinds of notions of social interaction. You can sit on a park bench and still be within the book you're trying to write. And it's only very rarely that people will come up and bother you. And if they do, they usually leave you alone if they get the signals. On the other hand, that may be very difficult if you're not in that state, and you could feel yourself very lonely and very cut off. But for a writer, for an artist, I think it's a very unusual place to write. It's lovely.
Ben Okri, thank you for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Oh, thank you very much for asking me.
Ben Okri is a Nigerian writer, and his book, The Famished Road, won the 1991 Booker Prize. This is Fresh Air.